Welcome to another Carlin Loud Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, hey, Rob. I have to bring this up because I was absolutely amazed. I remember seeing you winning some Commonwealth Gold medal for your hammer throw, but I can't recall seeing any footage of that for, well, since you did it. Like, what was that, 26 years ago?
It was a long time ago, I believe. What year are we in now?
2020. So,
2020, right? So, yeah, it was a lifetime ago.
Well, the amazing thing is this footage come up on Facebook or YouTube, whatever, and it was of you competing in the 1994 Commonwealth Games. Where was that held? In Canada?
It was in Vancouver, Victoria, in Canada. Beautiful place, Canada. And, yeah, so on. That was after that, Sharon and myself and Daniel, who was only a little baby at the time, and Sharon's mum, we travelled through the Rockies, and then I flew back over to England for the World Cup, to do the World Cup.
And looking at that footage, I've got some questions to ask, mate. Now, first off, some of the commentary there, they said you were the gold medal favourite and they called you a man mountain. You're a high school teacher. And they said that recently you'd broken 77 metres for your throwing. You held the Commonwealth record with 77.66. But one thing that really struck me as unusual, apparently you'd recently split with your coach, Peter Bredner, an Adelaide lawyer, and you'd taken up with Alan Bertram, an English coach who was also looking after one of your competitors who won the bronze medal, Peter Vivian.
Yeah, well, some of that is true. I mean, it all sort of has some truth to it, but Alan Bertram, I met. Alan was the British national coach, and I met him many years prior when I went over to England for the first time. I was over there competing and training, and I never met any of the English guys, and I met him at a comp at Gateshead, and we could have hit it off straight away. And his wife, Marie, was an Australian, so she was from Victoria, so we had sort of something in interest. And he was a wonderful man, and he was a chief inspector in the police in London, and run the West London Hammer School, he called it. And so I went back and stayed with him and trained with his squad. And that was early on. And then we kept in touch and I went back a few times and worked with him, as did Peter Bredner, who was my coach prior to that. But Peter and I had a few, as coaches and athletes do sometimes, sort of we had our differences. And in the end, for different reasons, it was getting difficult to keep working together. So we went our separate ways. And in some regards, I know that made sort of life difficult for me after, because Peter was a very good coach and an excellent technical coach, and that's really important in hammer throwing. So I did, as I went on for a few more years, you know, that getting that technique stuff right was really critical.
Okay, now it was interesting on your first throw in this video, the commentators are saying you had good speed in the ring. But on your throw, they said you looked tentative, wasn't a good start. You still threw 68-62 for second place at that time. And they mentioned that you were a notorious slow starter in events. Tell us a little bit about that.
No, the first Commonwealth Games, I struggled with getting fouls. I took to the last round in the first Commonwealth Games to get the throw out there that won it, and so I think they're referring to that. But in other comps, you know, like the Olympics and World Champs and stuff, which are bigger comps, like you've got, like you go out for your qualifying round to make the final, you've only got three throws to get through to the final, so you can't afford to be a slow starter in those bigger meets. But the Commonwealth Games, in reality, the standard is not as high in the hammer, and so I could luckily get away, and those first couple of throws were not very good throws from, but they were. It was okay standard for that for Commonwealth Games, so that sort of got me into the top eight, and therefore I could keep going into the final three rounds.
Well, it was interesting on you. I think it was your second throw. you actually hit the side ring, and you were looking disappointed, but the but you were a lot quicker in the circle, and you threw 70-24, which actually took the lead. That's amazing, considering that you hit the side. How often did Hammer Thighs hit the side of the rink when they were competing in big events like that?
A lot. I mean, you've got a big cage around you, obviously, for safety, because Hammer could be very dangerous if there wasn't a cage there. And so it's only a very – you don't – it's quite intimidating, actually, because the gap is quite narrow. And, of course, when you're under a bit of pressure and at that sort of level, all those things play their part. And so it wouldn't be unusual to clip the cage or put a hammer into the cage. But that I hadn't thought about that competition for a long time, to be honest. But, yeah, it popped up on the Athletics SA Facebook page. And so, of course, yesterday, people love sharing stuff, don't they? And making fun of what you must, what I used to look like, or maybe comparing to what I look like now, maybe is more the joke. But yeah, look, I, to be honest, I had been throwing really well that season, and I had prepared well over in Europe, and then leading into Commonwealth Games, I was actually training and throwing really well. But I did, to be honest, even though I won on that day, I didn't really throw. I'd never really got a good throw out at all. It wasn't. It's not a competition for me that I remember as being a great competition. I mean, the result was great, of course. That's what you're there for. But you really, I felt I was disappointed in my competition, because I knew that I was actually in shape to throw a lot further on that day, and I didn't make the most of it. And that was, you know, the first couple of rounds were probably typical of that.
Well, there was also a couple of comments by the commentators that tickled my fancy a little bit. One of them was saying, as a junior, you were a good footballer with North Adelaide. And then a little bit later, the other guy, he comes in, he says, he'd make a good rugby second rower, no doubt, 110 kilo, almost 2 metres. How do you feel about that commentary? I mean, I can't imagine you ever even considering playing rugby.
Well, I was not ever, no. I mean, rugby was not on my radar. Footy obviously was, and I did enjoy playing footy when I was younger and did play at North Adelaide in the under-17s. But who knows? I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? You sort of sliding doors. You can go either way. When I was younger, I felt that at athletics, I'd gone to the World Juniors Championships the same time I was playing footy as a junior, in that sort of under-17 time, and that sort of opened my eyes up to that ability to compete internationally, and that's what I really wanted to do. So that was sort of set me on that path to continue with track and field rather than footy. But I don't know how to go in rugby. Rugby's a different game, and so who knows? But that's not, like, that's what happens, isn't it? People compare athletes to other sports that in Australia are our biggest sports, like in our case, like AFL and, of course, rugby in the Eastern States.
You know, I was a little bit surprised at some of the commentary, because it's quite colourful. I mean, they sort of like filled in a lot of the gaps waiting for Thighs, et cetera, to come up and take their attempts. But there was one stage there, he was looking at you as you were sort of getting ready, and they're saying, you know, you were one of the warmest favourites. And then he turned around and he said, the way you throw, it's a little bit like a jolt of electricity. And he'd be looking to electrocute the opposition with this throw. I mean, that's sort of like so colourful, I just couldn't believe it. It was, I had to note it to bring it up today, but it was just, you know, I forgot sort of how good some of the commentary in the past could be, because nowadays you hear a lot of commentators, they rabbit on so much about their own careers and about this and about that. And, you know, to come up with some of this colourful information was startling.
Yeah, that is. I mean, of course, you don't hear, I mean, you're not hearing any of that. That's something that you might see later on when you watch some footage or replays or whatever. So, yeah, that was very colourful, wasn't it? And what do you think of the shorts and the socks I had on? Did you like that fashion?
Well, I tried to sort of, I was almost dumbfounded the first time, and I was looking for it the second time, but you obviously got the message, because you came out with tracksuit bottoms on.
Well, it was pretty cold. And but the Sox, you see, there was a throw of a Russian guy, Igor Nikulin, who was a very good thrower, and he used to wear these long socks. And I thought, maybe that would help me. The Russians throw a long way. That might help me. So I thought, I'll wear Australian colours. And they said what team it was. Of course, it's Australia. It was green and gold, for crying out loud. But, yeah, no. And Sharon, my wife, she forgot the shorts, so she thought that was pretty funny. In fact, I was talking to my son. We're talking to Daniel in America today on FaceTime, and he's like, did you have your ear pierced then? And he was asking me all these questions. But he was there as a toddler, and the night before, or the afternoon before the competition, Sharon and I went out. We went to the Borchardt Gardens, which was a lovely gardens to visit. And when we came back, there was all panic. My mum and dad were there as well. And Daniel had been running around in the room they were, or the apartment they had rented for the time they were there, and smashed his head into the wall. Ooh. And actually split his forehead open.
Wow.
So the night before the competition, I had to be in the hospital with him. And, of course, I had to hold this poor little kid down while they were injecting his forehead and then stitching him up. So I reminded him of that. Of course, he didn't remember that because he was only a little kid. But he was having a bit of a laugh at my expense today after watching that.
Gee, and then on your big throw, I think it might have been your third attempt. You threw 73-48, which was the one that won you the gold medal. And listening to the commentary, you know, the way they were saying, oh, it's out there, it's out there. And then they're showing you some vision of from the top of you throwing it as well. And it was just unbelievable, the tension they built up and the commentary. They really made it very interesting. I forgot how interesting the commentary was back in those days.
What do you mean? Of course it's interesting. This is like, you know, throwing is very interesting, isn't it?
It is, but I was talking about the commentary. Anyway, I saw that you had some pretty tough
commentary was good. The guys did a good job, didn't they? They were, I can't remember who they were, but they did a good job.
Now, I was interested to see you had some pretty tough competition there. There was a guy, Paul Carlin. Any relation?
Yes, he is my brother, as you know.
I'm only joking. He looked, he had the bandana look, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. We were pretty cool characters, Paul and I. So we, you know, I had the socks and the shorts and the earring and so on and the long hair, and Paul had the bandana and the. So yeah, you know, that was back in the mid '90s. So those fashions were going around, but yeah, Paul loved his bandana. He had the long hair under there.
You know, there's one thing. I had my hair cut this week, and what my wife asked me to do a year or two ago was take a photograph when I get my hair cut the way she likes me to get my hair cut. So I've done that. Every time I go, I show the photograph on my phone. This is how I want my hair done. You know, you should get that photograph of you throwing the hammer back then in 94 and show that to your barber and ask for the same haircut.
Well, there's only one problem, isn't there, Rob? Do we get to the punchline? What's the problem?
A lack of hair.
Well, I'm my own barber. I do my own hair. So, you know, I save a fortune on shampoo. I just use face wash now. As I wash my face with the face wash, I just keep going and do the rest of my head, you know, because I don't know where to stop, so you just keep going. So I save a lot of money on conditioner and shampoo, so it's not a bad thing.
Hey, Sean, thanks for making this good fun today. I've really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed the footage. But it's time for us to say goodbye. So ends another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.